Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the punch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Happy holidays as we roll along inside the playbook on Patriots.com radio. John Rook, Eric Scalavino from PFW here for about 20 or 30 minutes before the Patriots actually take the practice field a little later than they normally do. Mm-hmm. But I have to admit, I'm very impressed with the pre-show history lesson that I just received from Mr. Scalavino, because I don't think I really realized that. I hear I'm an old codger and didn't realize that today is
it's the Boxing
first day
in
of
Canada.
Christmas my true love gave to me.
You get your partridge and your pear tree.
Okay.
Yeah. I should have brought one.
So today is two turtle doves.
No, today is the partridge and the pear tree.
Oh, today's the first
today
day.
Today is the first Christmas day.
How about
is
Christmas
not
day counted?
No. Christmas day is its own entity. Today is the first day of Christmas. In the 12-day calendar.
So in the 12-day calendar is the Christmas season they're talking to as opposed to a specific day.
Right. Christmas Day comes December 25th.
Okay.
The next 12 days are the 12 days of Christmas.
Of Christmas.
Culminating in the Feast of the Epiphany, January 6th. Very special day on the calendar, John.
And will that be your day of birth?
It was, yes.
Okay.
But it was historically, traditionally, in the church lore, it is the day that Balthazar, Melchior, and Gaspar, the three wise men, arrived in Bethlehem and presented their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to the baby Jesus.
On January the 6th.
January the 6th, which is why, in Italy, they celebrate Christmas Day. Obviously, there's a big midnight mass at the Vatican. But they don't give their gifts until January 6th, which is Little Christmas. In Italy.
I don't think I ever knew that. I also wonder why it took Mary and Joseph so long to check out of the stinking manger.
Give birth on December 25th,
and they
manger.
Don't leave. I know, but they don't get. They don't leave the.
It wasn't in a hospital.
I know, but they don't leave the barn for 2 weeks with a baby. Think about that for a second. They give birth. She gives birth on December the 25th. And they don't leave until after January the 6th.
I don't have an answer for that one. I'm sorry.
That's a little odd. That's all I'm going to say is a little odd.
Okay.
Nevertheless, Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you too, my friend.
Okay, so today's partridge in a pear tree
yes.
day. All right. So I hope that you receive your partridges in a pear tree today, amongst other items. All right. What were your thoughts on Sunday?
They were lucky to win.
Yeah.
They played horribly.
Oh, boy. I don't think there's been a worse one this year. And that we've seen a couple of bad ones.
Yeah.
Arizona certainly comes
the game
to mind.
Right before
the year.
Yeah.
San Francisco.
Even though they
game.
Came back, they played terrible.
Played 34, scored 34 points, still played like crap.
Mm-hmm.
And, so.
Lucky to win. They were lucky to win.
In this particular instance now, I have to admit that my greatest fear at this point in time is that this team is beginning to hit the skids at the wrong time of year.
Which is why I think they need to go all out to win their game on Sunday just in case, and especially if the Texans lose. They need a week off to get healthy. They have to have a week off, John. Anything can happen. They could still win 3 playoff games, get to the Super Bowl. I realize that, but I feel much better about them if they had one weekend where they didn't have to play a game.
Right.
And in order to guarantee that, or in order to give themselves a chance for that, they need to play well against the Dolphins on Sunday. And I think psychologically they need to play well because the last two games they've not played well. You know, since they beat up on the Texans,
correct,
they've not played well.
No, they have not.
And psychologically they need to do something going into these playoffs that gives them a little bit more confidence than What they've shown the last couple of weeks.
I would tend to agree at this stage. All right, so you know the drill. Normally, we do nitpicks on Tuesday, but since we didn't have a show because of the holiday yesterday, want to hear your nitpicks from Sunday's game in Jacksonville. Should be plenty. What concerns you the most about this team? Do you agree or even disagree with Eric that they need to go full bore here, regardless of what it is that they're playing for, just because they need to get back into some kind of rhythm in anticipation of the upcoming playoffs? And right now, based on what I saw on Sunday, I tend to lean that direction. They really should probably try to get back into some kind of rhythm, some way or another. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. The Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398. Facebook page is open and ready to roll. John.Rook is the address on Facebook, and you may find me on Twitter at JR Broadcaster and send your thoughts via Twitter as well. I want to say happy holidays to Olivier in Virginia. Olivier, happy holidays to you. I hope you had a good Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you guys. How have you been?
Wonderful. And by the way, thank you for the waffles that I finally got.
Oh, when did you get them?
Well, I got them in plenty of time to still eat them, so.
They traveled well, huh?
Yes, they did travel well, but thank you.
Yeah, you should also ask Kevin. You should get more stuff today.
Really?
Yes. You too, Eric.
Joyeux Noël, my friend.
Yeah, thank you. You too.
Absolutely.
Bon Natale.
Bon Natale. I put that up on my Facebook page, and everybody said, "What about my language? I'm Greek," and I can't read any of that stuff. But I knew Bon Natale. So,
good man. Well, you're from Rhode Island. So
yeah,
you should
right.
Know that.
I kind of do.
By osmosis, you should know some Italian.
And I have a vowel on the end of my name.
It's true, you do.
Right?
You do.
So I sort of have included myself with the Italians.
You're a plural in Italian.
Yes, exactly.
You're welcome.
You're welcome into the big family.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So what were your thoughts on Sunday? What's disturbing you right now?
I don't think I have enough time today to tell you how many things are disturbing me. No, just kidding. I think that they played miserably. And one thing that, you know, makes me struggling is the fact that I think all of our offensive linemen came back and we had the worst game ever. So it begs the question: is are we going to get Brian Warder back for the playoff?
No.
No, I don't think he's. I think ship sailed.
I know.
And they've been back. The O-line has been together the last few weeks.
They just had a rotten game, and Brady
just
got
not
beat
healthy.
And he got beat up, and that's
they're not a healthy group. Even though they're back, they're not. No, where they should be.
No.
Yeah, that's a major concern for the playoffs, to be frank with you. I mean, if we don't do something drastic, we don't even know what we can do. I think it's going to be, it's going to be I'm not sure if it's going to be a short and fast exit, but I think it's going to be very difficult to win against the Broncos. And the more I think about it, the more I think that the NFL, the journalists, and everyone, even the refs to a certain extent, they want Manning in the Super Bowl. So if we have our best, I think that's exactly what's going to happen, because he's going to sell tickets and he's got a great rating.
Well, Olivier's going the conspiracy theory right now. They already want Manning in there.
Easy, yeah. Fox Mulder.
Yeah, you know, I got to admit, though, Olivia, I'm not overly concerned with the Broncos. The reason that I'm not, first of all, is because I'm trying to worry about our own team stuff, number one. And number two, of the 10 games they've won in a row, I think only two teams have had winning records.
Yeah,
so,
that's correct.
But it is Denver, John, and there's something about that city that is just, there's a hex over this team.
Pish-posh. Just pish-posh on that. You know what?
They don't play well there. That's a fact. They just don't play well
there. But
these
guys that, you know, over the years, I wouldn't disagree with that, but there's a bunch of guys on this team that have never been there, and they don't know any different.
So who would Denver have to play for their first game? Would it be the winner of the potential wild card game between us and...
It would be the highest remaining seed out of the wild card weekend.
Right.
So it would be us, then.
Well, if they win.
If we win, and we're the three seed. If we're the three seed, it would be us, and we win. It would be us.
If both road teams, if the Colts and the Bengals both win their wild card games,
then they would play the Bengals.
The Colts would be the highest remaining seed.
Oh, they would
seed.
Play the highest. Yeah, that's right. Let's go.
So the Broncos and the Colts would play each other. So you'd have Manning and Luck, and the NFL would love that.
Oh, God,
they?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
So it all depends on who wins on wild card weekend. Whichever seed, as John said, is the highest remaining goes to the
and the lowest remaining seed would go to the one seed.
The highest seed. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think you're right. From a conspiracy theory, Colts Broncos is a must. So
I think the NFL would love to have that, but I'm not sure that happens in either instance. You know, although I think Baltimore's ripe for the picking. And if Baltimore is ripe for the picking, then you might like, you know, Indianapolis is still going to have a little bit of juice behind him with Pagano returning to the sideline. And, you know, and so that might be the emotional favorite.
You have to hang your hat on the Texans losing on the road.
Yeah.
You have to hang. I don't see Denver losing this week.
Yeah, me neither.
You have to hang your hat on the Colts being emotional and with Chuck Strong
exactly.
and being home.
And if that's the case, which I do
and
believe.
And you'll know by 425.
You'll know by kickoff on Sunday. If that's the case, then you beat Miami, you have the two.
And then, yeah. And if the Colts beat the Texans, you better put the pedal to the metal against Miami.
Right.
And do everything you can to win that game.
I kind of agree. I mean, I don't disagree with that.
But do you really think that the Colts are going to go metal to the pedal on Sunday, because they really have nothing to play for with the exception of maybe a different seat at the risk of getting, you know, injuries?
No, they don't have anything to play for. But I will tell you that I do believe that they will be sufficiently juiced for Pagano's return.
I also don't necessarily agree with that they don't have anything to play for. They don't have anything as far as seeding to play for. But what they're a young, very young team with virtually no playoff experience. I don't think they can afford to let up right now.
Right.
Yeah, I think they need to continue playing at as high a level as they can to give themselves the confidence that they can do this. So I think they do have to play for that at least, which means I think they're going to give it their best effort. I don't think they're just going to roll over like Tony Dungy's Colts used to do when they were the experienced team with the players who'd been there before, and he used to take the last couple of weeks off. I don't think these Colts can do that. So I think you'll see them give their best effort on Sunday.
And I think that's if you are...
and that's good news if you're a Patriots fan.
By the way, Olivia, your package has just arrived.
Oh, good. So you have it in front of you?
Yes,
little,
we do.
The little red boxes with the golden bows?
Yeah, open it and let me know what you think.
Should we open it?
Yeah, let's do it now.
All right, ready? Come on.
I see a sticker on it that says pralines on it, so it's already telling me it's edible, and I'm liking that.
Yes, okay. Please enjoy.
All right, well, we're opening right now, live on the radio.
Do it live! I'll write it, and we'll do it live!
This is good radio!
Thing sucks!
The crinkling of paper.
Okay.
Always a good
sound. Wow, look at that. That's outstanding. Thank you.
Oh, very good.
Thank you, Olivia.
Well done, Olivia.
They look fresh. Thank you very much. Perfect. You are the man.
Dig into some right now.
You are the man.
Good. You know, Merry Christmas to you guys.
Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you
again. Some love.
Thank you.
We appreciate that. All right,
so. Thanks, Kevin. I appreciate it.
You got it. Now, how about then, since we asked you, I'm going to finish speaking first, and then I'm going to jump in. Your thoughts then on this week's game with Miami?
I think that. The team will be prepared. The team is not happy with the performance.
Yep.
Everyone is worried about, you know, a letdown. So, you know, all the veterans and even the younger players are going to step it up this week. Now, coming game time, it really depends on what will happen in the overall playoff picture. So if we know we're not playing for anything, then I think that we will try to win. We will try to play well. But we won't take any risks to either further existing injuries or create new ones in anticipation of January 4th. That's kind of what I think is the smart thing.
I think what will end up happening is if we don't have anything to play for and we're locked into the wild card weekend, I think that you might see some sporadic play from the regulars, but I think they pull the dogs off.
Yeah, and so they should. Why taking any risk if we're not playing for anything more than what we already have?
Yep.
But now, again, if for example, we don't win against Miami, and assuming that the number one and two seeds remain what they are today, does it mean that we would play someone different for wild card weekend? Do we know who it's going to be?
It depends.
Is it going to be the Bengals?
No, it depends on the Ravens game at 1 o'clock. If the Ravens win over the Bengals, that's who they're playing.
Right.
If the Ravens win and the Patriots lose, the Patriots become the fourth seed, and they would play the Colts opening weekend.
Right.
If the Patriots both win, or if the Patriots win and the Ravens lose, and the one and two seeds remain as they are,
then they would play.
Then New England would play
Bengals.
Cincinnati.
The Bengals.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
So I guess you know, it's going to be an interesting preparation for the week, but I trust the team will be overly prepared, and you know, I guess the Aleayak Taest, as our friend Caesar used to say as he crossed the Rubicon. At that time, the dice will be cast.
Yes, it will. And I do think that they played, you know, poorly enough last week. Well, they'll be sufficiently probably ticked off at themselves this week. And I think that hopefully will help them in preparation.
Hey, yeah. Eric, how did you like that Latin formula? Did you like
very well done.
Olivier's word of the day?
Very well. Very well. Wow. What's with the mocking?
It was not a mocking. It was a compliment.
Okay.
The word
so.
Of the day.
I never studied Latin.
I did. I studied way too much Latin. That's part of my problem.
Yeah.
Regular,
you know,
not pig
Patris,
Latin.
It's Spiritus, Spiritus,
Santus,
Amen.
Well, see, now, I got to tell you, Olivia, I'd have to see that written down.
Yes.
I mean, because obviously you're speaking a dead language.
Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what he was
yes,
saying.
Yes, right.
Patriotis, Super Bullum, Campionatis.
Okay.
Patriots, Super Bowl
yeah, Super Bowl champions. Yes.
I just
very
made
good.
It up.
Yeah.
It sounded good, but.
Very nice.
It's the priest in me that's coming out.
Very nice. Very nice.
All right, guys. Listen, enjoy the rest of the day. Enjoy your chocolates. And if you like them, as soon as I go back, I'll bring you a lot more.
Wow.
Kevin,
okay. Okay.
Like
that's
it,
nothing wrong with that.
Okay.
Happy New Year, Olivier.
Thanks
yeah, Happy
guys.
New Year.
I'll talk to you next week.
You
All
got
right,
it.
Here. Thanks.
Olivier in Virginia. 508-298-0398, the Ace Ticket Hotline. You got a row?
I do. Got to go out to practice.
So you got to go to practice? Do we have time for the word of the day?
Sure.
We have time for the word of the day, Kev?
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, it's time to pull up your britches, put on your Argyle sweaters, puff on your corn cob pipes, and gather round the fire for Eric Scalavino's Word of the Day.
Olivier's favorite part right there.
Yeah. Mine too, because, you know, this sort of reminds me of like a Christmassy scene. You know, you've got the fireplace going, the tree, the lights are dim.
Right.
You know, it's late in the evening.
Okay.
You're relaxing with a little, you know, maybe a snifter of cognac or something. Right?
Oh, wow. nice picture painting there, Biggie.
Exactly.
I like that. Okay.
So today's word, I think we'll go with bouncing off of what we talked about earlier with the 12 days of Christmas.
Okay.
You had thought one thing.
Yes, I did. And I
had instructed you otherwise.
Me. Yes, you did.
So the word of the day today is confute.
Confute.
C-O-N-F-U-T-E.
Correct.
Which means to dispel, prove false, or to refute. So I confuted your erroneous notion that the 12 days of Christmas came before Christmas Day.
What is the difference between confute and refute?
Not much.
Okay.
They're synonyms.
Right. Okay.
Essentially.
Interesting. All right. Well done, my friend.
Just
well
something
done.
Different. I don't always like to. The reason why I love words so much is because I get bored as a writer using the same words
and over and over again.
I
get that. I totally get that.
So I love looking for any different, variation on same old types of things.
I like that.
Confute is not something you hear. Too
no,
often.
You don't hear that often. Very
so
good.
There you go.
Well done.
Thank you, sir.
All right, I'll see you tomorrow.
You will for the whole hour.
For the whole hour tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay.
At least according to today's media schedule. We'll see if that changes.
All right. Well, if you notice anything abstract or abnormal today.
Anything noteworthy, I'll
let us know.
Stop back. Yeah.
Very good. All right. Eric Scalavino is off to Patriots practice as they get started a little late following the Christmas Day holiday here at Gillette Stadium. So Patriots practice about to get underway. In the meantime, we've got plenty of time to visit with you today in terms of our nitpicks from Sunday's game and the 23-16 win over Jacksonville. Clearly, it was not it wasn't as expected as any of us thought it would be. It's the one time this year, I do believe, in all earnesty, I'd have to go back and check through the numbers. But I believe it's the one time this year that I actually picked a relatively one-sided Patriots win. I think I had the Patriots by 21, and they didn't deliver. Now, I've picked them to win by close, and they've won by more. But I think this is the one time that I actually picked the Patriots, took the points, and did not cover. So I don't know if that means anything to you. I don't know if that's an alarmist theory. There are just so many different things that we can nitpick. It's really, wow. It should, as a Patriots fan, it should give you a little pause for concern, especially going into what may still be a very important game. Now, if you have a chance to win, I don't think there's any question, and you have a chance to improve your standing, there's no question in my mind that you have to go for it. You got to play for the bye if you can get the bye, and you'll know by the time the game kicks off. on Sunday. And if you can go over the bye, then you gotta put pedal to metal. You gotta nail Miami. You gotta win the game. You gotta try to win impressively because you're gonna get a week off anyway. And then hopefully that extra week will give you a chance to get your walking wounded back. And then you get to host, you know, a home game. And then you can take your chances with the AFC Championship. That's the best case scenario for the Patriots right now. Worst case scenario, you realize that both 1 and 2, both Houston and Denver have won. You cannot improve your lot in life. And then you decide you need the week off more than you need anything else. And so my guess would be that they might make a decision and almost throw the game plan out the window. Now, it would be up to the second teamers to carry the game plan through, but I think you would see wholesale substitutions by the time the game kicks off on Sunday. If they cannot reach the bye. All right, so I don't know how you feel about that, but that's, you know, in fact, that could even be part of the nitpick. Because I think it's very clear, at least in my estimation, based on what we saw and what we watched on Sunday, that, in all honesty, wow, this is not the right time of year. This is not the time of the year that you want to be sputtering. This is not the time of year that you want to be, you know, missing assignments on the offensive line. And let's also face it, you know what? I don't know that this has been said that much. Maybe a few, you know, Twitterers have mentioned this. I don't think I've seen any columnists write this yet, but this game on Sunday was Jacksonville's Super Bowl. They have a chance to really stick it to someone who's going to be playing in the tournament. And they came out and they, you know, here's the old adage. They pinned their ears back and they got after it. And they did. And Chad Henne, God love him, can't play against really anybody else in the NFL. But by God, when that team has silver and blue and red on the other side of the line of scrimmage, he's an all-world quarterback. And except for that brief spell, I think, of the second quarter when he would just get against... And our Patriots' vanilla defense and inexplicably overthrow receivers. And then he got it going again a little bit in the second half. But, you know, Chad Henne, he just plays well overall against New England. Wow. My biggest nitpick just has to be with the overall malaise that this team seems to have settled into at a bad time of year. And I don't know if you attribute this to the relative inexperience of this team. And if so, then I would nitpick with the veteran, you know, leadership here. And it starts with Tom Brady. And yeah, he was as critical of himself as he has ever been this year in the post game comments after the game on Sunday. He was. And I thought that was a good positive sign. Brady needs to get on it and say, look, this is not acceptable. If we are a championship contending team, this is not acceptable. And then there's another part of me that says, you know, my other nitpick would be, why haven't they signed Wes Welker yet? You know, he's over 100 again. He's over 1,000 again. Wow. I still don't have a good feeling that he's going to be a part of this mix next year. Although I'm hearing more and more writers and voices from, you know, talk shows and things like that, bloggers. More and more people seem to think now, like Eric does, and I'll give Eric the credit for this, but more and more people seem to think that the opinion is that they're going to figure out a way to franchise him if they're not going to offer him a long-term deal, but that they're not going to let him go. And I don't know why you wouldn't offer the guy 3 years at $9 or $9.5 million per, because I think he'd take that. 3 and 27, 3 and 28, 3 and 29, somewhere in that vicinity. Because you realize now that even at age 31, he's still got 2 or 3 more very good years, and he's going to go to somebody else next year, and he's going to catch 100 balls again. Now, yeah, Tom Brady certainly has a lot to do with that. And he's got to go find the right team that utilizes a slot receiver much in the same fashion. And really, there aren't too many like that. So it may very well be that this is the best place for him, which is why I think he would take less money for a 3-year deal. And I hope that this somehow gets done. But at the very least, the Patriots still hold the cards here. They can franchise him one more year. They can give him 1 year and $11.5 million. I don't know that they give him that 1 year, because that's going to make next year's payroll pretty steep. You'll have, I think, 25% of your payroll in like 4 guys, which is just nuts. That's almost fiscal insanity. But my nitpick now, though, I'm starting to wonder now why, you know, why the Patriots don't do something to nip this in the bud, because Welker's just way too valuable to let go at this stage of the game. You know, I'm still not surprised if he does go, folks. I'm still not surprised just because of the fiscal sense that we've seen this franchise operate with over the course of, you know, the entire Kraft regime. But I just, wow, that's another one on my mind. All right, what's on your mind? Let's go to Pratt in Maryland. Pratt, you're in the playbook. How are you?
Doing good, John. How are you, sir?
Great. Thank you very much for calling. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. I guess I'll start with my nitpick. I was thinking of, you know, the offensive line, the secondary, a lot of obviously health-related issues, but I think I'm going to have to agree with you, and I think the whole team had a lack of effort in that game, and it was evident from, you know, Brady getting hit so much and him maybe not making the best throws. Obviously, the defense wasn't putting enough pressure on Chad Henne. Overall, I felt like the team was just flat. And they were pretty fortunate, like Brady said, to win that game.
You know, it really disturbed me as to why they were. I mean, I guess I can understand it. It might have just been human nature, because you're going up against a 2-12 team, and you really didn't have at the time a hell of a lot that you needed to focus on. I think you got lucky, and I think this is, again, you can probably take some of that And cast it aside for the fact that, again, you know, a lot of this roster is not as experienced as we like to think it is. And so maybe these guys are kind of learning the hard way. But I also then blame guys like Brady and Wilfork for not stepping up and making sure that everybody else around them. I mean, this team is so incumbent upon, you know, the mantra of doing your job. Sometimes you need to spell it out for guys. I just think you need to spell it out. And I think you need somebody in that locker room that's demonstrative enough to do that. And I don't know that we have that individual on this team. And that's why Brady's post-game comments to me were a step in the right direction toward healing or fixing whatever problems that we're seeing here at the end of the year.
Right, exactly. I really hope, you know, we turn it up against the Dolphins. But even before we get to that game, the Colts and Texans game is going to be huge. And, you know, while we're saying, do the Colts have any motivation to play this game, there's no lack of motivation from the Texans end, because they know that if they win this game, they're pretty much wrapping up the number one seed.
Yep.
So it's going to be huge on both sides. And I really hope, you know, just like I'm sure the rest of the Patriots Nation is hoping, that the Colts win that game somehow. And the Patriots end up with at least a second seed and a first-round bye.
I'm a little surprised that Minnesota handled them as well as they did last week. I am. And Minnesota clearly had, I think, more to play for. But to win that the way they did on the road, and Adrian Peterson did not get 100 yards in the game.
Right.
That's the one that I thought, you know, for the Vikings to win last week, I thought, you know, Peterson would have had to run for 150 easy, and he didn't even get 100. So that to me is not only impressive from a Minnesota point of view, but that's a little bit alarming from a Houston point of view. And so I do give Indianapolis the better chance, clearly, by far and away, of losing this next week, because I don't think there's a snowball's chance in you know where that Kansas City knocks off Denver.
I agree, and it's actually very reassuring that Chuck Pagano is saying that his team is going to be, you know, all the starters are going to be playing, and they're going to be trying to win this game. So I think it's a great scenario for us, assuming obviously that we win our game at 4:25.
Well, so. I think that's what we have. I think that's what we have to look forward to. So I know that there will be a lot of attention on the Colts and Texans, because that's the one game you can kind of hang your hat on if you're a Pats fan this week. And that will determine whether or not, hey, the Patriots decide that they have to, you know, play it to the hilt. And if somehow the Texans win that game, I think we call the dogs off this week. I really do.
I agree, John. One more thing before I go.
Yep.
I know we have two active roster spots, and I believe Jermaine Cunningham is eligible to return from his suspension.
This week, correct.
So I'm assuming that's going to go, one of the spots is going to go to him.
That would be correct.
Yeah, so I was thinking for the other roster spot, do you see any chance of a Jabbar Gaffney re-signing? Because we're a little thin at wide receiver, and he's not a guy that would be slow to pick up the offense when he comes back because he's played for McDaniels and he's played with Brady. He would make the most sense to me if you're going to bring somebody out from outside.
I think that actually does make very good sense. I would think that they're certainly leaving it open to have that roster flexibility if they're able to kind of take stock, especially if they get an off week in here after this weekend. But either way, here's a guy that could come in and probably get up to speed. I don't know what his health situation is, and I'd have to look into that a little bit further because I thought that might have been one of the reasons that he got let go anyway as the season got progressed. So provided, though, that he's relatively healthy, I don't think that would be a horrible move for the Patriots to make. That would give them a little bit more depth at a spot where they could certainly use it.
Yes, absolutely.
Makes sense to me anyway. I will give you credit for that. Yep.
Thank you very much, John. Have a happy new year.
Thanks, Pratt. Happy new year to you, too. All right. Let's get to Steve in Killeen, Texas. Steve, you're in the playbook.
Hey, John. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You used the perfect word to describe the Pats over the last 2 weeks, and that's malaise. And, growing up as I did in that era of Ali, the only thing that, in my mind, it's like watching Ali do the rope-a-dope, where you watch him get pummeled and pummeled and pummeled, and finally, yeah. He steps back, sets up, and then just knocks somebody out.
Yeah.
And you don't know if that's going to happen or if he's going to take one on the chin, and that's kind of the way it's been. And to carry that analogy farther, and I actually emailed this to you as well, I want to see more of a Tyson-esque type mentality. When you get in and walk onto the field, you automatically take away your opponent's will to even want to be there because they know they're going to get punched in the mouth.
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
And we kind of saw that with the Texans in their game, and everybody was like, oh, the Pats are the darlings of the week. And then in this next 2 weeks, it just kind of fell off, and execution with consistency has been the thing that's been making, I think, everyone crazy across the board, because you know the potential that's there of the Pats coming out quick. And Wolf even mentioned this in his interview before Christmas, that they have to start quick. And my whole thing is, fine, go, as you and I said, go no huddle and just pummel a team and set the pace from that first whistle for the entire 60 minutes.
Correct.
Not giving your opponent a chance to catch their breath, and at the end of it, just have them go, wow. Then the other thing that's really telling too, John, and I'd have to go back and check on this, but it seems to be, outside of New England, when you watch ESPN and the NFL Network, almost to a game, everyone's been saying, well, when they play the Patriots, they're going to have their best game to win. And yet, on the back end of that, when the Pats don't play with the level of explosive consistency, it's like, well, that team was really, really good. It's like, not necessarily. You've already admitted that the caliber of this team means that whoever plays them basically treats it like their Super Bowl. Houston was a classic example of that.
Right.
So I kind of chuckle at that part of it, but looking at where we stand right now, it's that level of inconsistency that kind of makes me go, I just want to see him come out and just pummel somebody and remove that doubt again of, play like what you are.
Yeah.
As opposed to, well, we know you can do this, and then having it just fall off and be like it was a few years ago, where the Pats seem to play to the level of a competition instead of playing like the Pats.
Sure, sure.
And the other net that I'll agree with you on is Welker. The only thing, and you and I know this quite well, having gone through the things with McGinnis and others who have been traded, he may just be blue-chip stock at this point in time, where the Pats are looking at what they can do from the financial side to bring in more options, which, that always makes me cringe, too, because he's a valued asset. We know how that goes.
Yeah, I just, the overall asset aspect of it here is that he's something that, clearly, time and time again, even though he's, and we've nitpicked on Welker for, some drops this year, and obviously the drop in the Super Bowl last year, and maybe you could see a little bit of the veneer kind of cracking with Wes Welker as he gets a little bit older in his career, but the overall numbers of over 100 catches and more than 1,000 yards again, it's almost like you can take it to the bank. And because of that aspect, I just don't know at this stage of the game, regardless of the monetary implications here, I don't know how you can't bring him back. To me, that he's just too valuable a piece of the offensive puzzle, and he's such an unbelievable asset for Tom Brady. I just don't know how you can't think that he wouldn't come up with another year or two of production. Even if he catches only, say, 75 or 80 balls a year over the next couple of years, how is that still not production?
And he reminds me of, you know, to look at the Cowboys, he's the Witten. Or to go even farther back, he's more like a Largent for the Seahawks. He's not a guy that normally gets a lot of ink, but he's just a workhorse.
Right.
And there's that level of consistency with him that, you know, when he's there, it just clicks.
Correct. I mean, I'm hopeful that this works out, but, you know, the Patriots are probably not doing anything because they do know that they can franchise him again. So I'm sure that that'll be one of the first discussions they have in the offseason where they will say, all right, what are we doing about Welker? And, you know, if they win a championship or whatever, I think that there's probably going to be more of an opportunity for him to come back because they'll feel like, all right, look, we just won a title. And if we keep the core in place again for another year or two, we might be able to win another one or two. And the defense is hopefully still at the stage where you feel like it's still improving. And so if you still have a core, if you believe from a functional, fundamental point of view within this organization that you have enough pieces to the puzzle still in place to win another championship or two while, you know, the Brady-Belichick tandem is still in place, why would you go around messing with what you have and keep the core guys in place?
That's a great point. Hopefully that'll be the scenario that plays out, that they win a championship and then it becomes a moot point because you're going to do what you need to do.
No question.
Try and keep all those the pieces in place for at least the next year or two, as you said.
Absolutely, Steve. I'm the more I think about it, it's like I'm really having a hard time seeing the other piece. And then of course, I keep coming back to you know, relative normalcy and say, well, this is the Crafts, this is the Patriots we're talking about, and they've never operated under this standpoint. They've always looked at value, which is certainly wise and has been wise of them, but they've never overspent. And so it depends on what they feel like the position and what a 31-year-old, you know, possession receiver really is worth in the marketplace and whether or not, you know, they're willing, you know, as an organization to pay what they feel he is, what he's probably, they don't feel he's worth, but is it worth in the overall scheme of things to keep this core together? And that's something that I think only Jonathan and Robert Kraft can tell us.
True, but, you know, I go back to the Randy Moss pickup a few years ago. That was something totally unexpected, but again, it goes back to the money was there and it worked out the way they wanted it to. So, yeah, we'll see, John, I guess, is the end-all and be-all of that one.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's true. But until we get to that point, I mean, Wes continues to, you know, pull in his 10 and 100 every game, and, you know, it's just like, you know, set your watches by him. He's that regular.
Yeah, very true. Happy New Year, gentlemen. Give somebody else a chance here, and all the best.
Steve, thank you.
The briskets will be coming in the new year. I got that all worked out, sir.
You're the man. Thank you, Steve. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
All right, talk to you soon. Let's get to Eldridge in North Carolina. Eldridge, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, John. Hope you had a Merry Christmas.
Not bad. Hope you had one as well.
Yeah, not bad either. Just a little heart attack on that Sunday's game, but that's about it.
Well, yeah, believe you know, me. Yeah, I think a lot of people felt like you did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they just laid an egg, and then I know some of the major guys, right, like Spike, Dennard, and Talib, I know that. But, man, if those backups play like that, and, you know, I know they've been there 16 games. Some of them been there 32 games because they played last year also.
Yeah.
You know, they had to improve better than that.
Right.
And as far as Welker, well, I agree with you. He might not be here, but I wish he was because 100 catches, you know, I like him. But, you know, he's a good possession, a receiver. And, like I said, he gets the job done, you know. I like Branch dropping stuff in the end zone, and Lord, who can't beat nobody, used to, but I ain't seen him be the good, talented cornerback yet.
Right.
You know what I mean? From Arizona down, I haven't seen him beat one yet. You know, and then, like, my nitpick is, I wish, and I like the other show, they're good and everything,
yeah.
I wish they were more objective like you are. Because it ain't every week.
Eldridge, you don't think they're objective at all?
No, they're two Patriots. Believe me now, I love my team. I play with them on PlayStation, got all my little jerseys and everything. I go down with them. You know what I mean? But I am objective. And I believe to think that We can't lose to the Bengals or the Broncos. It's hilarious. It's hilarious. So they got a better defense and they, than what we have. And right now, both of them is playing lights out. Mm-hmm. You know, even though, the Bengals, like I said, they lost to the Cowboys, that was a bad call. They didn't get that bad call against the Cowboys. They'd have whooped the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
They would have whooped. I sit there and watch that game because my wife's the Cowboy fan. I got the NFL ticket, so I'm sitting back to the Patriots and the Cowboys. I'm laughing. <You know? laughs> But I'm also hollering and crying too because I'm looking at our end.
Yeah, right.
You know, as far as this calendar receiver wise, you know, something about New England I don't understand is we had two good receivers that you could have got in the draft this year,
mm-hmm.
which is performing now. That's Ruben Randall for the Giants, and you could have got there's another receiver, Baldwin.
Mm-hmm.
That's just him in the draft. Went right by him. The Giants got him.
Sure.
He's performing. You know what I mean? He's performing. You know, 6'2", a lot of speed, and he's strong.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, we don't like receivers. You know, you keep the slow guys or the ones you think, and you know, you should have kept Moss. I don't care, you know, Bill, Callahan, what his name was.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to just want him as a decoy.
Mm-hmm.
Randy is a Hall of Famer. So he wants some yardage, and he wants prestige. You can't blame a guy for playing that many years want that. You're like Brady won't hit.
Right.
You can't blame that. But for some reason, we can't. Also, like I said, them value picks. You want to get some small receivers, slow, small cornerbacks that slow to can't cover fast receivers. And somewhere down the line, they got to change their way of thinking.
Right.
So, and I just don't understand. That's my nitpick.
Okay. All right. I think, that's fair. I think that's legit. No question.
Yes, sir. But like I said, I'm hoping they don't lay an egg against Miami. I'm hoping Indy do whoop Houston because I don't care what nobody – if them had to come to us and we go to them, it's going to be a game. This ain't going to be, well, we walk away with it.
Right.
It's going to be that.
Well,
and
you know
– Baltimore get in.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, here's how I'm kind of looking at the other thing. Oh, hold on just a second. Patriots have signed three to the practice squad. I believe Aiken cleared waivers, and he did. So Kamar Aiken, a wide receiver, James Devlin, a running back, and defensive back Cyril Sill Quarles been signed to the practice squad. All right, so that just came over for the team. That might, you know, have something to do with the wide receiver that we were talking about. And we had a previous caller, Steve, mentioned that, you know, hey, what about a guy like Jamar Gaffney for the open roster spot? And frankly, I still think that makes some sense. But here's the other thing, though. You understand, though, that if this team has nothing to play for, if both Houston and Denver win and they're in the Miami game and they realize that's the case, you understand why they would probably pull off the dogs, right?
I would. Keep it from being hurt and you take your chances on the road. I would.
Well, they wouldn't be on. You know, you'd have to look ahead to play on the road. You'd still get a home game in the first week of the playoffs, of the wild card playoffs. But you know, you want some time off to be able to make sure that guys like Brady and Welker and even Ridley and certainly your offensive line that's been banged up. And, oh, yeah, how about a guy like Rob Gronkowski who could actually come back and play in that opening game? You're going to need them because once you get into the playoffs, it's win or you're out for the year and you go play golf.
Exactly.
So I certainly can understand that. I'd be disappointed. But I don't think, though, that, you know, it's worth risking, you know, pulling a hammy or turning an ankle or doing anything like that when you know that in the playoffs everybody needs to be completely healthy. So I could see them chucking it, you know, throwing it up to the wind and say, okay, that's it. We're going to let the second and third teamers do it if they have no shot of getting the bye.
I agree with that, too, John, 100%. You know what I mean? And I'm hoping that we do get one, so that gives a week for Grunt to get the rust off.
No question.
A little rust. He ain't going to get all of it, just a little bit off.
That's the best
one. I thought they already they cut him, but I saw that earlier. But
They did cut him. They did release him, but he cleared waivers, so they re-signed him to the practice squad.
Back to the practice squad.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I think he's a little slow. But he's big, though. But
okay.
I don't know how much he does there. But what my biggest concern is Dennard and Tlaib. How bad is they hurt? You know, because Coles, Arrington, oh, man. And I found out that Sterling Moore played with the Cowboys now.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened to Malcolm Williams?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was pretty good and he was pretty fast, but he didn't get on the field one time that I remember, but I don't see him on the roster anymore. Did he let him go too?
Which one now?
Malcolm Williams, the cornerback.
I believe.
Seven, six, eight.
Yeah, no. I don't have the practice squad list right in front of me, but I do believe they did cut him.
And I know Sterling Moore with the Cowboys. And
right.
I just wonder how they can go on a practice squad and get your players. You know, because they got one of our tackles, too, or somebody else got him.
Right.
Kansas City did.
Well, first of all, you have to look at the practice squad in a little bit different light. It's not really a taxi squad, per se, where if somebody gets hurt, you're going to bump somebody up, you know, from the what used to be known as the taxi squad in the old days, you know, to try to replace somebody on the roster. You look at the practice squad more in a developmental sense nowadays than you do really as replacing a guy on your roster. You have to try to go with your 50, you know, your 45 active guys, and you have to build depth, and you have to build some versatility in that depth, and that's what the Patriots, I think, have done a pretty good job with. But as far as the practice squad is concerned, you know, two or three of those guys might actually be subs you can bump up, but the rest of those guys are strictly kept from a developmental point of view in hopes that they can become regular players in another year or two on down the line. And that's how the Patriots go about building their practice squad. So just because they're on the practice squad doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to bump a guy like Kamar Aiken up if they get another injury, you know, on the wide receiver core. In fact, I'd be a little surprised if they did that.
Okay, but Sterling Moore was a starter, then he played, and to let him go to Dallas like that, especially when you got injuries in the secondary.
I think they made a fundamental change, Eldridge, in terms of what they saw in the secondary, and it was very clear that they liked McCourty, I think, better as a safety than a corner. And even though he went back to playing some corner this week, I just think that they felt like, you know what, there wasn't going to be as much opportunity for him in the future because of the way things were playing out, and that's why he slipped through the cracks and got out.
Yeah, but he played a little bit better than Dallas. He got burned a couple of times, but he played a little bit better, though.
Well, I think you just answered your own question, though. He did get burned a couple of times. So, I mean, you know what? In a perfect world, they'd have kept him. Fact is, he got claimed, and that's the risk you take when you bump a guy down to the practice squad. You can look at anybody else's practice squad, you know, around the league, and you can say, all right, hey, that guy would be great, and if you want to sign him, you got him. You take him. So, you know, that's why that the practice squad is the practice squad. If he's good enough to make your 45, then he's going to be on your 45.
Okay.
That's why.
One more question.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Well, I'm sorry, but let me cut you off, Jim. One more question, please.
Yeah.
Out of all the six playoff teams, who do you rather not face the most?
You're talking AFC, right?
AFC, right. And in the NFC.
Honestly, I'm not dodging your bullet here, but I don't think there's anybody that I would fear. You know, I know that the obvious answer, you know, from a lot of people would have to be Denver, but for some reason or another, I just don't get that impression from this Denver team. I think the Patriots have played against Peyton Manning well enough in the past where even if they have to play Denver in Denver, that this is an opportunity that for them, they can hang with that team pretty easily. And as long as they're not shooting themselves in the foot, and that's what really bothers me the most, over the last 2 weeks, this team has self-inflicted wounds more than they've done anything else. And that's my other big nitpick for today is the fact that this team has shot itself in the foot with mistakes and turnovers. And they've given San Francisco and Jacksonville, respectively, opportunities to beat them. And San Francisco did it. Jacksonville could not. It really, that's as simple as you can get it. And if they can avoid that playing in Denver, I think the Patriots beat the Broncos. But if they make one mistake and Denver makes zero, Denver's going to win that game. It's that final line that they're walking. And that goes the same for this week against Miami. They make a mistake here at home, and Miami doesn't make any mistakes because Miami has nothing to lose. Keep this right in mind about this week. This is their playoffs. They would like nothing better than to get a divisional win, and they've done this in the past. We've done this within the last, what, 5 or 6 years. Miami's coming here in the last game of the year, and they've won it when the Patriots had nothing to play for.
Exactly, I remember that.
And Miami's going to come in here, and they are, because they know next week they're off, and they're going to be off for the next 6 months. So guess what? They're going to come in here and play, and they're going to play hard. And the Patriots had best be ready for that. I do not, by any stretch, think that this will be a breeze like we thought maybe the Jacksonville game would be, and we were wrong in that assumption. So the Patriots, they had best be ready. And that's why I'm kind of hoping, like everybody else here, that, you know, that Indy is able to give the Patriots a little extra help. Because if they can, then I think the emotion level will at least be on par with Miami. But if they don't and there's nothing to play for, listen, I would not be shocked if the Patriots lose this game, especially if they decide to go with their second and third teamers, and this team goes into the playoffs with a three-game losing streak. And there's not going to be anybody that will feel confident going into the playoffs with that.
No, you're right. They won't whatsoever.
So this is why we're really hanging in the balance here. This weekend is going to decide a lot about, you know, the fate of this 2012 New England Patriots team.
Exactly. What about the NFC?
I got to admit, I kind of like Seattle right now, just because I think that's a team that's just a real pain in the butt. And you know, I still think San Francisco might end up being there. But the team that I don't want to face would be Seattle.
Same here, because those big corners, that defense,
yeah.
And Russell Wilson.
Yeah, tough matchup. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. But on that NFL channel, they got Denver and Green Bay in the playoffs. If Green Bay beat Seattle, and Denver beat us.
Yeah.
You know, to get in. I'm like, y'all, no count, you know what.
Well, you know what? Those are just guys. You know, listening, hearing themselves talk. I put about as much, you know, credence in that as I, you know, would on, you know, Santa Claus. So don't. Hey, that's just, those are just, you know, a couple of guys' opinions, and you know, your opinion is just as good as theirs, Eldridge. I guarantee it.
All right. Thank you, sir. You have a good day.
Hey, you too. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. All right, let's get a timeout in here if we can. 508-298-0398 is our Ace Ticket hotline. Plenty of time for you here as we get into hour number two inside the playbook for Wednesday. 508-298-0398. What's your nitpick, your biggest nitpick? Have we already touched on it from Sunday's win over Jacksonville, or shall I say near disaster against Jacksonville? What have we not touched down that we've missed that you saw that you feel could be a problem? Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Find me on Facebook, John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E, the last name, and on Twitter, @JRBroadcaster. Nitpicks. We got them. What do you feel like is the best case scenario? And are you also of the opinion that the Patriots should call off the dogs if they cannot get into the bye situation this Sunday before they even kick off against Miami, knowing that they're going to have a game plan with all their regulars ready to roll, and then all of a sudden, air goes out of the balloon. You got nothing to play for. Should they just shelve them and put all the starters back on the bench to give them, in effect, a week off? I could see where people would have differing opinions on this. I'd like to hear yours, coming up in the playbook.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Taranza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock right now. We have Bridgestone tires in stock no matter what you drive. Remember that we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance. With over 100 ASE-certified master technicians on our staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment. Plus, you'll find easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out our everyday low prices now on Bridgestone Tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. We're always here to get you there.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. Have a nitpick about this week's game?
Yeah, I was at the game.
Well, John does too.
Sucky, sucky, sucky.
It's Nitpick Tuesday on Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio.
Nitpick Tuesday on a Wednesday, of course, because we were off for the Christmas holiday yesterday. Hope that you had a very Merry Christmas wherever you may be. And we're going to continue to kind of press forward here. Hour number two in the playbook. Got to get your thoughts on Sunday before we look more toward the Miami game. We'll spend quite a bit of time, I think, on tomorrow's show doing more of that. But we'll begin to sort of peek toward that end today as well. Now, I come across a couple of items here. First of all, Mike Rodak, who many of you are familiar with his name and his work, young man who covers practices for ESPNBoston.com, and he just tweeted that there was full attendance for the walkthrough indoors today here at the Dana-Farber Fieldhouse, including Jermaine Cunningham. So this is his first day back as an active member of the team after serving his four-game suspension for PEDs, and he's back. That would indicate that, you know, that will probably be one of those roster spots that's open. Nobody missing from inside the walkthrough, inside the bubble today. So Cunningham is back. That will help, I think, somewhat depth-wise on the defensive side of the ball without question. And then probably still give the Patriots the flexibility that they want for potential roster moves as the regular season not only winds down this week, but as they get into the playoffs, and whether or not the Patriots, you know, need to utilize some of that flexibility if they've got to play next week or if they have next week off, which we just do not know and will not know until Well, it could be as early as 4:25 on Sunday, but it may not be until we get to about 7:30 this Sunday night. All right, so let's get to this is Michaels from Facebook. He says, yes, they need to get a rhythm going against Miami. The San Francisco game seemed to be a letdown after the Houston Texans game. It seemed that they might have let down their guard, as the saying goes. And as for Jacksonville, the team underestimated them, did not take them seriously enough. On the other hand, teams are thriving to beat New England. No question. Consider San Francisco got whacked this weekend. Miami will be ready and will strive to beat New England this weekend. The Texans showed up in their letter jackets, put too many eggs beat the Patriots basket. So the Patriots need to be ready to play strong, and they need to be powerful. I predict the Colts will win. Denver, on the other hand, is a 50-50 game since Kansas City always plays them hard, and the Ravens will lose. He says, P.S., I was pretty close with my guess on the score of this game. There is still a chance for a yearbook. Any winners this past week? No. There were no winners. I had to pick 23-16. We did not have a 23-16 selection. I'm a little surprised. I'm actually a little surprised that throughout this entire year we haven't had one person get an exact score right. And I think part of the reason behind that is that because when it comes to predicting games, we think with our hearts, not with our heads. So because of that, you're going to have a tendency to think the Patriots are going to win sometimes in a walkover. Be interesting to see tomorrow when we do Prediction Thursday what you feel this team will do against Miami, and whether or not you feel like this team will end up, you know, calling the starters out or playing them the entire game or what will transpire. Might even be tougher to get an accurate score prediction for this week, but we'll take those from you tomorrow on the show. And yes, you still have a chance to win a fact in yearbook. We'll continue with that right through the playoffs. And by the way, I will add that if by some chance next week is a bye week, next Thursday, right, Kev? That's what we'll do. We'll do a game show.
Usually do it on Wednesday, don't we?
Yeah. But I know I have a basketball game next week.
Oh yeah, you. That's right.
I have to travel next week.
You reminded me, so we'll do it on Thursday.
So next week, if there is a bye, then we'll do a game show Thursday.
An unlikely, but a possibility.
Yeah. There is a possibility. You win, and you can get either Houston or Denver to lose. Then we can have a bye week, and then we'll play game show next week, and we'll have another chance for you to win a yearbook, amongst some other things. Probably try to give away another PFW subscription as well. So that'll be for next week. And then he says, as for my initial point, your rant made up my point that teams currently will rise up to play hard against the Patriots. Rex Ryan has put too much stock in playing against New England this year. Chan Gailey made comments about New England. Numerous teams have made it a point to beat comments about the Patriots, he says. An observation about Denver and Peyton Manning's style. He likes to get out, get a lead, play from ahead. If anyone slows them down, their style changes. They have a bit of difficulty adjusting. They have a good defense, but like the Patriots, they give up yards, not that many points. They just might lose. John Fox is an average coach, although Peyton makes him look good. All right, Michael, thank you for the comments. Kind of an interesting point of view. I would agree with you on the Broncos like to play from ahead. Probably not quite as good coming from behind, because and no team really is. Although you'd have to say that a team that has a guy like Peyton Manning at quarterback, you'd take your chances on, as opposed to a team like Chad Henne and Jacksonville. And so with all due respect to Chad Henne, but you know, if you know Peyton Manning's got a throw, he can still beat you. Let's see what else we got here. There were a couple of tweets, and I'm waiting for it to reload, so I'm going to let that reload a little bit. Here comes Ray from New York, who says, via web radio, @patriots.com, the email address. John, hope you and your family had a safe and happy holiday. My nitpick from last Sunday's game is with the receiving corps. What's with all the dropped balls and blown routes? Come on, people, do your job. Each week I'm feeling more and more confident that our defense can step up when they need to, but now our offense is letting us down. I expect more from Hernandez and Welker. Thankfully, Woodhead and Lloyd stepped up last week to take the load, because if it wasn't for them, this game could have been a big fat L on the schedule. Brandon Lloyd did step up, and let me also speak to Danny Woodhead for a moment, because you're absolutely right, Ray. Danny Lloyd, I would say Danny Woodhead is probably, in my estimation, been from start to finish, knowing what you're going to get, the most consistent player on this team. Can anybody else make that argument for anybody else that's been more consistent? In other words, what you think you're going to get and what you actually do get from a particular player. Has there been anyone more consistent than Danny Woodhead this year on the New England Patriots? That's a great question here for hour number two of the program. Who's been the most consistent player in your estimation on this team this year? And my vote has to be Danny Woodhead, because you know exactly what you're getting. And most of the time, you get more than you expect. And maybe that's just because the guy's 5 foot and nothing. But if you need a big gainer on a third and long, he's going to be there in the backfield. And he's just got a way of, you know, hiding behind those bigger linemen and those bigger blockers down the field. He gets so low to the ground, he's just so difficult to bring down that when he's got space, he can find that crack of light and bang, he's gone. Danny Woodhead definitely has stepped up. He's been an unsung hero. He's been more consistent than anybody on this team from start to finish this year, in my estimation. What about yours? Anybody else in your estimation been at least as consistent, if not more consistent than Danny Woodhead? Webradio at Patriots.com, 508-298-0398 on the Ace Ticket Hotline. John.Rook Facebook, at JR Broadcaster Twitter. Ray says, one final note, I hope we can get Lloyd back for another year. I believe he's a nice addition to the receiving core, and you can tell the relationship between him and Brady is becoming strong. Thank you, Ray. He's got a multi-year deal, doesn't he, Kev? And Brandon Lloyd have a multi-year deal?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I can look it up for you.
I think so. So I think that does mean he will be back. You know, but there seems to be this overwhelming need and desire for a quote-unquote game-breaking, speed merchant guy that can stretch the field, and Brandon Lloyd really isn't that kind of guy. I don't know that you need that kind of guy with this team.
Yeah, he's in the first year of a three-year
deal. That's what I thought. So, yeah, he's going to be back. He's going to be back, Ray, and I think that's probably good. Now, Lucas sends this, and I'd hesitated to read this, but Lucas sends this via email, and I got to admit, because I'm equal opportunity here, but he says, the Patriots are D-O-N-E. Done. The defense is pathetic. The O-line is ridiculously bad. And Hernandez is a, okay, well, whatever. We probably will win the first round if it's against the Colts, definitely. If it's against the Bengals, he says it's more like a 50-50 game. See, I don't agree with that either. But Denver is going to completely destroy us. They are saying, like Bark Scott, can't wait. So which free agents do you like? Come on. Really, Luca? The season's over for you? Really? Wow. That's somebody who has absolutely jumped off the deep end. Let's keep in mind now that they shot themselves in the foot against San Francisco, and they still had a chance potentially to win that game. And before the San Francisco game, they were the number one team in all the power rankings in the NFL, and they've dropped down to number five after this week's close call against Jacksonville. Are they really, in your estimation, the fifth best team in the NFL? And could they drop from number one all the way to number five after what you've seen over the last 2 weeks? Keep in mind now that this wasn't San Francisco beating them. This was the Patriots losing that game. The reason the Patriots lost that game and the reason that they were so close to Jacksonville is through their own misdeeds. I don't believe the defense is pathetic, as you say, Luca. I do believe that the offensive line has had some troubles, although I don't think I'd call them ridiculously bad, as you say. I might also agree that Hernandez has had some troubles lately. But I actually still see the defense overall as improving. I just don't know if it improved fast enough for our liking. I think you also have to realize a guy like Chandler Jones, who began to assert himself a little bit more this last week, is now kind of rounding himself back into shape after missing, 3-4 weeks with his ankle sprain. Otherwise, I think you'd find yourself that you'd have a legit rookie of the year candidate. I don't know that they're done. I certainly can see some warning flags. I don't know that they're done, and I think there's a big difference between the two. Bob says his nitpick, his pet peeve is play calling. Okay. I would like an understanding as to why. What plays in particular, Bob, if you think about it? It's one thing to say play calling. Okay. Well, how about an example or two? Where in the game did you not like the play calling? In what particular instance? And what should have been called in its place in your estimation? Rich says, just want to see a sense of urgency from the team in the way they play. You hear them say, we can't play like this, or we should be clicking. We haven't played a 60-minute game since Houston. It's almost like the team is waiting for this 60-minute game to happen instead of taking it upon themselves to make it happen. I'd like to see them get the bye to get the rest, but it's almost like they need to go on the road and have to take the game from the home team just to show how much they want it because their performances are not speaking for themselves. This Miami game is a must win game. And when it comes to confidence and ending on a high note, not so much when it comes to seeding, but just to have some sense of who the team is and get past this. Rich says, we'll see who we are once we get into the playoffs type mentality. I think that this is more so the type of team the Giants are. I don't know if the Patriots are that type of team. Hopefully all of this type of talk lights a fire under their butts and they get their head back in the game and we're talking about a parade in a month or so. But who knows? I don't think any fan can say they do based on their post-Houston performances. Well, I think part of the post-Houston performance, you know, like I said, part of the problems with that is that they've been self-inflicted wounds more so than anything else. That, and I do believe they're getting their opponent's best shot. They're getting their opponent's best shots. And I think there is some, I think you do have to take some of that into consideration. Late in the year. We've already had a couple of fans point that out today. Patriots are getting the best shots. I mean, this last week in Jacksonville, this was Jacksonville's Super Bowl. The Patriots are going to get Miami's best shot this week. This is Miami's Super Bowl. They have a chance to, you know, put a real dent in the Patriots freight train to the playoffs this week. And you know Miami would love to do that, being a divisional rival. You know that. They're going to come out, and they're going to come out swinging hard. That's why I said early in the program today, I hope the Patriots really have something to play for with the later kickoff now, because if they realize they got nothing to play for and they call off the dogs and the starters go to the sidelines, I don't see them winning this game. And you're going to go into this game with a three-game losing streak, or into the playoffs, potentially with a three-game losing streak. Who here is going to feel confident, necessarily, about New England in the playoffs losing three in a row? Even I won't. Because I don't think, you know, I can understand why they would pull their starters out, but I think you've got to be playing better football. And I think to me that's just an overriding scenario. I understand if they pull them out and there's nothing to play for. It doesn't mean I agree with that process. I think you've got to be playing better football. Here's Matt in Connecticut. Matt, you're in the playbook.
Hey, happy holidays, John and Kevin.
Same to you, Matt.
A couple observations, I guess, from the game. I don't know if it's necessarily nitpicks, but the offensive line, like everyone's saying, definitely played terribly. I mean, it's probably because they're banged up. And, I mean, our defense is hurting, and it kind of shows how much Tlaib really helps out the defense when he's healthy because, you know, McCourty moved back to center back to CB, and, you know, Tlaib wasn't playing as much. When Brady threw the ball to Ridley, I almost died. Ridley has no hands. I love Woodhead. I have his jersey. He's definitely the most consistent player, and I kind of wish that ball was thrown to Woodhead instead because I felt like Woodhead definitely could have made that that catch. Kind of like looking forward to this week against Miami. If Gronk plays, I think he's going to help out a lot in the blocking game and abilities. We'll be able to establish the run a lot better. And also, I think that's going to take a lot less pressure off of Brady because Miami's going to have to drop back in coverage and maybe double-team Gronkowski. I guess looking even further ahead, Houston's going to lose the Colts. Foster's not going to play or be limited. And the Broncos will get the one, Pats will get the two. Broncos and Pats are going to play in the AFC Championship, and it's going to be Seahawks, Pats in the Super Bowl. That's my prediction.
Really? So you think, you don't fear the Patriots then going to Denver to play in an AFC title game?
I think that game's going to be really be close and it's going to be a great game. But first of all, I mean, looking back to the game this weekend, the Patriots have to play hard against Miami because, like you said, it is Miami's Super Bowl, and they definitely shouldn't rest their starters because, you know, if they go into the playoffs and end up losing and go on a three-game losing streak, you know, psychologically that's gonna take its toll on the younger guys as well as, I mean, all the fans here, obviously. And on top of that, another reason why they should play hard is if the Patriots lose and Baltimore wins, Baltimore takes the third seed, and I don't want Baltimore ahead of us in any way, shape, or form. So that's kind of my thoughts, and you guys, you can critique a team.
I actually think your reasoning is not unsound. I don't fear, and fear is kind of a loose word to use here, but I don't think that Baltimore is as problematic as a lot of fans think that they might be. Keep in mind, that's a game that, as we all know, earlier in the year, the Patriots should have won, and Baltimore arguably was a better team back then because they weren't as decimated by injuries as they have been, defensively especially. I've never really liked Joe Flacco, but he was a better quarterback in the early part of the year than he has been lately. So I'm not so sure that Baltimore is a factor. And I don't say that to diss Baltimore, disrespect Baltimore. I just think that right now that, they've struggled to kind of find their groove because of some of the injuries that have, been in their place. And if Baltimore and Indianapolis are in that 4-5 game, if that's what it comes out to, I wouldn't be at all surprised to see Indianapolis win that game.
Definitely.
Well, it would not shock me in the least. And that means then that it'd probably be Indianapolis, unless you get an upset in the 3-6 game, that would be Indy going to Denver.
Yeah. And maybe it's me being a homer, being afraid of Baltimore because I've seen what they've done in the past to us.
I can understand that, especially if the Patriots had to go to Baltimore. Then that would be a game, I think, that might be somewhat problematic. Playing in Baltimore, but playing in Denver, I actually now I'm mad that you got me thinking about it here a little bit. I actually think that I'd have more trouble with this team going to Baltimore than I would with them going to Denver.
Yeah, I agree.
Crazy as that may be, a lot of that is because of some past history. And again, I just said earlier on the show as well. I said, well, I don't think past history means anything to this team. And frankly, I kind of have to stay with that. I think it largely is because recent history has indicated they played in Baltimore and they got beat. So I think that would put a little bit of doubt in their heads.
Yeah.
Just a little bit anyway. So interesting scenarios. What other nitpick from Sunday that you thought that maybe we haven't touched on in particular did you see anything one way or the other from this team that we haven't seen over the last couple of weeks that might be a little disturbing?
Brady's inconsistency, but yeah. I think that might have to do with just the whole, everything as a whole, like with the offensive line, and him not getting enough time to survey the field because he does like to look at multiple options. So, I mean, I think just the team as a whole, has to do a lot with his inconsistency, and he was, like people were saying earlier, yelling at his entire team. So hopefully he can light a fire under their butts and carry them through being the veteran he is.
Yeah, right. Interesting. He was off. I think he even admitted as much, right? After the game was over, he was off.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what really alarms me the most about the whole offensive production was the offensive line was just way too consistent. Had some Swiss cheese holes in it this weekend, didn't you think?
Oh, my God. When they were rushing people, I was...
He got hammered, yeah.
He was going to go down for another injury.
Yeah.
It was really bad.
Well, you had everybody kind of in place, and it didn't quite work out this week. And I don't know if it was just because it was Jacksonville or if, Jacksonville was, sufficiently motivated because it was the Patriots they were playing, and I think that might have had something to do with it. But... I guess we'll find out a little bit more because frankly, I think Cameron Wake this week in Miami presents, a better threat defensively, certainly than say Jeremy Mincy and Jason Babin had for Jacksonville this last week. And by the way, I thought Babin was a pretty good pickup. I thought he played an outstanding game. And Mincy, was a former Patriot draft pick this week. I thought he was pretty solid as well. And because of that, I think that part of the reason why they rose to the occasion was because of who they were playing. And I just don't think the Patriots really met that level of emotion that Jacksonville was showing. Plus, you got to also realize that was the biggest crowd that Jacksonville had played in front of in 8 years. How about that? Nobody really understood that. Biggest crowd in 8 years since 2004. And I think that had something to do with it. I think that juiced everybody up.
Yeah, they were definitely fired up, and the Patriots weren't as fired up, which I think had a lot to do with it because they thought they could just roll over the team, and that wasn't the case.
Correct. I totally agree with that.
Well, I'll leave you to it. Thanks for your time, John.
Matt, thanks. Happy holidays to you. Happy New Year.
Thanks a lot.
You got it. All right, let me see what I'll get here. I got one, two other quick little emails I want to share here because we were in the Janine says, I agree with you about Danny Woodhead, John. It is so great to see him having a stellar year this year. I was inspired by him when they were playing San Francisco. They showed him on the sideline getting the team fired up after he scored the touchdown, bringing the score up to 31-10. Everyone looked dejected, but it looked like he was saying, come on, we can do it, guys. It's a testament to the bounce back that he has made from last year. Love to the little dude. I like that. Good, Janine. Patriots are not done, but it is good to hear everyone doubting them. Seems like whenever the fans turn on them is when they pull out huge victories. Thanks for your insight. And thank you for your insight, Janine. Good stuff there. All right, back to the phones. Melvin in Tennessee. Melvin, happy holidays. You're in the playbook.
Happy holidays to you too, John. How you doing?
Good, sir. Hope you had a good Christmas.
Yeah, I did. How about yourself? Good. Well, as far as the game goes, be honest, I almost ruined my Christmas because I wasn't preparing to really see. I really wanted the game to be over with by halftime. I didn't expect to see them struggle like that with that team. But you know, like I said, you know, they're an NFL team too. But just for the possibility of us playing on the road, I didn't want that to be our last, you know, close performance on the road. It seems like to me what's ironic is that we're starting the season with these same questions, or ended the season with the same questions I kind of started the season with offensive line and protection, can really hold the ball, can get a good pass rush consistently, those type of issues. So they went through the season, I thought some of those issues were solved, but now they're kind of coming back up. So just a little bit concerned with that. But one of the questions I had to ask was, I had to watch the game from a computer. So was Talib playing? I really couldn't.
Yeah, he did. He did not start. They were holding him out, and Coach Belichick did. And I think this is part of the reason for some of the inconsistencies that we saw with the way the team played, is that he was going with different personnel groupings and playing different guys in different situations. And started a couple of different guys, largely because of health and because he wanted to see who was ready to contribute in certain situations once the playoffs do roll around. So I think there was a little bit of experimentation this last week against Jacksonville, feeling like maybe this was the one game they could sort of, quote-unquote, get away with it. And it almost came back to bite them in the ass. So I don't know that they'll be doing that this week against Miami. But, yes, Talib did come in and play.
Okay. I thought it was a 31 or 32, but I thought that was him.
It was.
But, okay. And I guess nitpicking-wise, which I guess I've been on this issue for a while, but maybe I feel like special teams is playing a larger role in these games than normal. But Welker, I don't know if you said this number, Welker had a fair catch maybe like the 7, which I thought was kind of a bonehead moved him. He should have just let it, you know, go to the end zone. But I like the way that Chung got the interception and returned. I thought he had a little nifty moves and good, especially since, well, I know they haven't been using him as much now. Maybe he could be a punt returner and, you know, maybe be a difference maker back there. I know they used him back there maybe a long time ago, maybe just to warm up. But I don't remember him being in too many game situations. So
right.
I like to see him back. I think he just offers a better, more explosive, maybe a bigger chance for a bigger play than Welker can, especially since Welker's been getting dinged up a little bit here and there. As far as the last point I want to make, as far as one of the consistent players, of course, it's Wilfer, but I think that one point's kind of an obvious one, but kind of under the radar, which I thought over these last 2 years, is Rob Nixon. I think he's come up in big moments, helped to close out games, forced fumbles, sacks, pressure, not as consistent as I like to be, but to begin playing that role, he's versatile. I think he just plays, I think he plays on from the defensive side of the ball a huge role on this team. So kind of like Brable used to be back in the day for those older New England teams, but I think he's a good, pretty good player for what he's been asked to do. So that's all I think I have to say, John.
Yeah, you know, Melvin, I think that your estimation of a lot of these guys, you watch enough of it, or you could see, and you make a pretty good judgment on most things. And no arguments one way or the other. I think where Welker's concerned, I think we all know what his value is to the team overall. I think we're kind of almost to the stage of, all right, well, you know what, if they don't want to pay, then that's just the organization's way of saying this is how we've always operated. And while I think it'll be unfortunate, and I know we'll all miss him, fact of the matter is that we should all expect something like this to happen because it's just the way this organization has played itself out. And I think we'd all love to see – I don't know anybody that wants to see him go. I mean, I think we're all unanimous in that respect. Nobody wants to see the guy go. But his overall worth to this team – is such that, you know, if by some chance they do win a title, and I said this earlier, if they do win a title and they've got to make a decision on whether or not they want to bring him back, you're still keeping the core group in place and you still might have a chance to win another title or two. I don't know why you wouldn't. I mean, I've almost come a complete 180 degrees on this, Melvin. I got to be honest with you. I was thinking there's no way they're not paying him the money, you know, because they've never done that in the past. And now, you know, I don't know. I'm thinking, well, you know, they do have the option of franchising him at the very worst case. And especially if they win this year, realizing that, you know, wouldn't it be great to get, you know, one more? Then you'd have one for the thumb, right? And so you'd have five Super Bowls. And think about, you know, how that would, you know, play out in overall annals of NFL history. And I do think if they win this year, I do believe they are more likely to bring him back than not bring him back. How's that?
Right. I agree. I believe that at the beginning of the year that, you know, with Welker gone, the Elderman can kind of fill that role, but not as much now. Welker's been, once again, even with the slow start, another 100 catch season, big plays all down. I just don't like them being used in a punt return game.
Well, they don't have any choice, you know, though. They have no choice in that matter with Edelman, you know, out for the year, and they can't rely on anybody else back there. They just can't. They have other people they could put back there. They have Slater, they have Bolden, you know, they've got some others that have caught balls back there, but they want somebody who not only they can rely on to catch the ball, but can also get them 8 to 10 yards on a return. Welker's the only guy they got.
Yeah. Maybe I'm being greedy. I just wanted to you never know. You know, that could be coming down to a field goal versus a touchdown later on, you know, maybe in these playoffs that somebody could get down there and maybe get those, you know, instead of just a sheer, of course, if anything, just catch the ball at least, for sure. But
right.
I wish that you can get that and lose like, when Michael James would play again, like the San Francisco used, that they played a good game in their game plan because their offense might not be as dynamic. I'm pretty sure New England doesn't feel like that they need that. I just still feel like going into these playoffs, playing a couple of tougher defenses, especially on the road, the way this team has looked, that maybe a big return here or there every now and then can help to silence the crowd and get momentum back swinging and New England's favorites. But as far as his contribution on the team goes, I 100% agree with you. I thought that they could do without. I thought that he might even be, holding up some of Hernandez's spot towards the middle of the field. But I think there's no replacing the West Welker if they thought that they could, really. He's way too valuable to this team, comes up in big moments. So I think that, they have no choice but to. I would think now. I've seen crazy things from this team, but I think they should, you know, try to work out whatever deal that they can get for him, or whatever they have to do.
Right,
he's pretty big player.
Right. Yeah, I hope that they do come back and they ultimately make that decision, Melvin. I don't think there's a Patriot fan around that wouldn't hope that. But I also know that Patriots fans realize that, you know, they do have to have some faith in what, you know, Belichick and Kraft have decided in the past, because it has brought them what they have, you know, in the 19 years that this family has owned this team. So I think you have to have a reasonable amount of faith that if they decide not to bring him back, that it's really not out of the normal way of thinking for this team to operate. So there's no reason that you should hate on him. You can be disappointed, but you can also, I think, understand, okay, well, it's too bad, but, you know, hey, so many fans, and I'm sure you're probably one of them, so many fans have said, you know, in Belichick we trust. Well, why not in Kraft we trust? And why do we not trust in terms of the personnel decision or the contract decisions as well? Because largely they've been accurate. You haven't hit on every one of them, but you have hit on more than your fair share.
Right, and I can just briefly say that last year that I was all about, oh, we brought in Haynesworth, and oh, we brought in Sean Ellis. I know those big guys were big contributors on the old teams, and I was like, who's this Mark Anderson then? Mark Anderson, guys, you know, and Andre Carter. I don't know who those guys were, but I was, you know, more concerned with Ellis and Haynesworth, and look how that turned out.
Right.
No type of production from those two, and with the other two that I didn't know too much about, a little bit, but 20 sacks from them. So it seems like the kind of the less of the name with them, the more of a contribution that they can bring to the team. So I completely agree with a lot of the personnel, the choices that they make after I kind of see it work or give it a little bit of time.
Yeah.
You know, Haynesworth and all of those, a lot of Ocho Cinco, bigger the name, you absolutely get no production.
Correct.
From those type of players. So.
Correct.
Seems like Chanko this year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they brought in two men, and I can't see if that's the last time. He made a huge catch in the San Francisco game. Huge. To help bring him to the goal line. So,
right.
You know, but yeah, like I said. That's all I'm going to ask for, John.
All right, Melvin. Hey, good call today. Problem. Thanks, buddy. Okay, happy New Year to you.
All right, happy New Year to you, John.
Thanks. All right, talk to you soon. Melvin in Tennessee. Good stuff right there. Okay, we want to sneak in a timeout here, or we want to just hang on for a while? All right, let's grab another one here. Kerry Byrne coming up at the top of the hour? No, not today?
Not today. We'll replay PFW and then our show.
Okay. All right. So that's what we've got today. It is a bit of a holiday schedule around here, and sometimes availabilities change from day to day. So we'll have PFW again coming up at the top of the hour, and then our replay. And then next week, as we mentioned, probably a shorter work week than normal simply because of the New Year's holiday for next week. And a lot of it may have to do with whether or not the Patriots are in a bye situation or whether they're playing in the wild card round next week. And again, we won't know that until Sunday. All right, so you've got time. Let's jump in now. webradio@patriots.com, the email. The Ace Ticket Hotline, again, is 508-298-0398. John.Rook on Facebook. Facebook hasn't been very active the last couple of weeks. Just because we're in the holidays, people aren't checking it as much. And also, at JR Broadcaster on Twitter. Your nitpicks, anything that we haven't touched on that kind of bothered you from the Jacksonville game on Sunday, and your thoughts on, well, if we do have to play in the wild card round, would it be better for this team to pull the starters out, or does this team need to get some positive momentum going? Because you could be looking at a 3-game losing streak, incredibly, going into the postseason. That can't set well with anybody, can it? We'll talk about it right here in the playbook.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Taranza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock right now. We have Bridgestone tires in stock no matter what you drive. Remember that we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance.
With over 100 ASE-certified master technicians on our staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment. Plus, you'll find easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out our everyday low prices now on Bridgestone Tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. We're always here to get you there.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the Red Zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
This is Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio. Want to get inside the playbook? Call John on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Getting ready to wrap up the playbook for a Wednesday here, day after Christmas. Hope you had a wonderful holiday. Hope you've got a better New Year planned ahead. Certainly a lot of you I know would feel like your New Year's would just be just rip-roaring if the Pats can, you know, get into the Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl again this year. Got this from Miami as they prep for the Patriots coming in here on Sunday. I know that there are many of us, I have to admit I'm one of them, kind of wonder what kind of guy Reggie Bush really is, you know? I mean, here's a guy that clearly he accepted something from somebody while at USC. He has to basically forfeit his Heisman Trophy because he did some things that he flat out should not have done that are and will always probably be illegal while in college football. He brought disgrace upon his alma mater. You always wonder, though, what kind of a guy is Reggie, because you just don't know. All you've heard is the bad stuff, really, that he's done. And I would tell you that the Dolphins today announced that both Reggie Bush and Richie Incognito, left guard on the offensive line, they were voted co-winners of the 2012 Good Guy Award presented by the South Florida chapter of the Pro Football Writers Association. It was inside the team's interview room today. In Miami, right after Bush's weekly press conference, that the Good Guy Award was announced. The PFWA, Pro Football Writers Association, announced that that the award is given to the player that most professional and cooperative with the media and helps us do our job the best. And Ben Volen, who is the president of the chapter in South Florida, his quote here is Reggie has been a total pro with us for 2 years now. And and you do a lot with us and nationally too, as there has been a lot of demands on your time. So we want to thank you. And then as far as Incognito, he says, Richie, you're there every single day answering questions about good and bad, both on and off the field. So we made these plaques for you. Interesting. So whatever you want to think about Reggie Bush. And I know many of us think a lot of different things. Maybe that, you know, he's not worth all the hype and the hoopla, since being a high draft pick of the New Orleans Saints, but apparently he's appreciated by the Pro Football Writers Association of South Florida. A couple of other items from Dolphins practice today. Nolan Carroll, their cornerback, was back on the practice field today after he missed last week's game against Buffalo with a knee injury. And Joe Philbin, the Dolphins head coach, did say that pretty clear to see that the more healthy D-backs that he has against the Patriots, the better off he feels like the Dolphins will be. So just some early sort of notes here from the Dolphins as they prepare for the Patriots this week. And we'll have more of that hopefully for you coming up tomorrow to see if we can't hone in a little bit more accurately. Michael sends this. Let me see. He said, I've got a couple of things here that he sent also. He says, how do you get three-game losing streak? They beat Jacksonville, and there's only one game left. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes, 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 yes. Not exactly a three-game losing streak. It would be losing three out of four. Going on a three-game losing streak. Yeah, I think I did say that earlier. You're absolutely right. You're right to call me out on that because it seems like a loss. And that's exactly what I was envisioning. It seemed like a loss. Even though you beat Jacksonville, you lost to San Francisco, you lost to Miami. So it would be losing two out of three going into the playoffs. That make more sense now? Yeah. Makes more sense. It was an ugly enough performance to consider a loss. just seemed like a loss. I have to admit, that's the first thing I thought of today. It's like, oh, God, I got to talk about getting beat. And then I realized, oh, yeah, they won the game. My bad. You're right to call me out on that one. And he says, Pete Carroll is nice to the media. He left USC just before the university received its suspensions, too. That's a good point. That's actually a good point. You can be nice as the day is long, but you can also still be a crook. Maybe that's the case with Reggie Bush. I don't know. But I thought I'd just bring that out because it seems like we always hammer on the guy. He's turned out to be a pretty good back. I don't know that I would still think of him as the every down kind of back that, you know, can make or break your franchise, but let's face it. I mean, Miami has not been as bad as some people thought they would be this year. You know, you get a win here, they're a 500 team, right? So I don't think anybody thought this team would win more than three or four games this season. So maybe it's a step in the right direction for the Dolphins. Clearly, the Jets and the Bills did not meet expectations. And I think there were some expectations for Buffalo especially. Less so for New York this year, even with, you know, Rex Ryan playing nice guy, relatively speaking. But Miami's the team that's made the strides within the division, not the other two. Chris says, I agree with everything you're saying. I do want to point out the Pats actually did beat the Jags, so they won't be entering the playoffs with a three-game losing streak. But perhaps you're speaking figuratively because that was a pathetic performance. Yes, Chris, you are correct. But, yeah, I still don't tremble at the thought of any team in the AFC and even the NFL. I think I could beat or lose to any of them on any given Sunday. No question. You have to figure, I mean, it was a struggle to win. Real struggle to win. But you have to figure like it felt more like a loss. It really did. Guess I just let my emotions and my figuring get the best of me in that particular instance. But that's kind of how I looked at it. Kelly sends this on Twitter. He says, can Jeff Demps come off IR and punt return for the playoffs? No, he cannot. There was one roster spot that was allowed to come off IR and be active again. Demps was not him. Therefore, Demps is done for the year. He cannot return punts for the playoffs. I think that'll be one of the curious things that we see for the Patriots in the offseason and what they do about Jeff Demps and whether or not they give him an opportunity to be that kind of breakaway guy, especially in the kicking game that we're all looking for. I think he would be a tremendous addition and give the team a measure of, you know, pure speed that they just have not had for a while. I don't know if he lines up wide and does that for you, but I know that he certainly could do that in the kick return game and or the punt return game. But it's not going to happen in the playoffs. That unfortunately just isn't going to happen. Okay, Steve. The Pats beat Jacksonville on Sunday, despite how badly they played. You keep referring to a season-ending three-game losing streak. Hey, you know what? At least now I'm reading everything here that's coming across. I realize that I erred in saying that, but it's good of you to pick that up and hammer me sufficiently. It seems like it was a loss. He says, I'd also like to add that coming off the two huge games with Houston and San Francisco, that a letdown against the lowly Jags was inevitable. I think they'll be good to go for the playoffs. Denver's defense is very much overrated. Brady has carved them up over the past three meetings, not to mention Denver's weak schedule. It's from Steve in Chicago. Thank you, Steve, for pointing that out. Just a thought for the past few weeks here from Donald in Marietta, Georgia, who says, the Texans came to New England after a very tough couple weeks and lost a very physical game. Then the 49ers come in, and they beat the home team in a very physical game. Then the 49ers lose a very physical game to Seattle. And the Pats squeak by the Jags after two very rough games, tough games. The point is that a tough physical game or two, most teams are at a natural disadvantage. It's a good point. Sometimes we take that, you know, we take it too much for granted. You're right. Sometimes that after you do play some physical games like that, and I think we kind of thought that going in, Donald. I think that's a good point. We kind of thought that going in. That's why we targeted the Houston and San Francisco games as fans, as media, as being, you know, the two biggest games, if you will, quotes around the word biggest games on the schedule this year because they're going to come late. They're going to be in prime time. They're going to come against arguably two of the best teams in the NFL other than yourselves. And then it could certainly be some playoff-type previews involved here. They were both rough. But as far as San Francisco is concerned, I'll still maintain the Patriots beat themselves more so than the 49ers beat them. 49ers were a good enough team to take advantage of the mistakes. But then you saw what mistakes and you saw what a motivated team can do this last week with Seattle. You know, and they beat the you-know-what out of San Francisco. My goodness. Mary Beth says, I was unable to see the game Sunday, but listened to it online. So many nitpicks. I am glad Brady was mad. Maybe he can have some effect on his coworkers. I think that would be an important point to have. That Tom needs to be upset to the point where his coworkers are paying attention. Hopefully that he can, you know, get enough attention. This one comes from Rachel, who says, has there been any talk about trying this guy out in practice? Oh, the rugby highlight, the rugby guy. Yeah, seeing his rugby highlights videos, Nate Ebner is what he's talking about, she's talking about, Nate Ebner. Seeing his rugby highlight videos on YouTube, seems like they would at least try him out in practice to see what they have. You know, he has good ball security, could even lateral if need be. No, you never want a lateral. Not unless there's a trick play called for and a kickoff and a punt return. No, no. Seems like they just kind of gave up after Edelman went down and threw Welker and Slater back there and just settled them being the best they have. If they happen to start fast again against Miami, I'd love to see them experiment, especially on special teams. But games, Rachel, are not the opportunity to experiment. You're going to experiment. You're going to do it in practice. You might experiment in the preseason. Once the regular season starts, you do not experiment in games because you know you have to value each game so much, you can't afford to lose one. I mean, one more win this year, Rachel. One more win this year. And we're not sitting here today talking about, you know, rooting for Indianapolis to beat Houston. One stinking point against Baltimore. Two stinking points against Arizona early in the year. You see how badly those games early in the year affect this team now? They mean everything. You get one of those games, a difference of 3 points. One of those games right now, we're not talking about this right now. It swings the whole season to a different light. And this Patriots team is probably not the quote-unquote fifth best team on the power rankings. They're probably still one or two. It's just the little things. You can't use games to experiment. You just don't. Can't. My guess is if they thought Nate Ebner would be good enough to do it, they'd have put him back there already. All right, that wraps up this edition of the Playbook. Thank you, everybody, for listening and paying attention to the show. And correctly saying that, well, I can't lose three in a row going into the playoffs. It sure as hell feels like it, though, if they lose this week. All right, same patch time, same patch channel tomorrow. Eric will be back. Russell Baxter will be in the Playbook tomorrow to look at the final week of the regular season of the NFL. And I'm sure we'll look more at the Miami Dolphins tomorrow. And you know they're going to be ready to roll for a game that means everything to them. They've got this game and then the offseason staring them straight ahead. They're going to put it all on the line. Patriots had best be ready to rise to the emotional equation this Sunday. Otherwise, it'll certainly seem like three losses in a row. Happy holidays, everyone. Talk to you tomorrow.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf,
CBS analyst. Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2. Yeah.